York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Look at that. Here we are. Glad you could come by. Happy Monday to you. Welcome to the Big Radio Show on this 13th day of September, year of our Lord 2021. My name is Tom Sullivan. And our cup runneth over again today. I mean, I don't even know where to start. We've got the 9/11 about Saudi involvement in 9/11 to go over. We've got the California recall, which is tomorrow. The president is going to be in Long Beach this evening to campaign with Gavin Newsom. Boy, I mean, they got a video from Obama. They got the vice president to go out and do an in-person campaign event last week. They got the president this week. I mean, everybody says that Newsom's going to win. He's up in all the polls show him ahead. But why are they bringing out all the big guns? Unless they're worried. Obviously, they're worried. So we'll get to that. Afghanistan. I'm afraid that story is going to go away. There have been some. We told you about last week. There was a Qatar Airlines that was chartered to go over and get some people out of Kabul, and they did. And then I believe Friday night, it was after the show on Friday, they went and got another group out of one Qatar 777, I believe it was. And then there was some other plane that went in on Saturday, a smaller plane. So they're getting some out in dribs and drabs, but they got, well, we don't know how many they have of Americans still left. That number varies. I'm just afraid that story is going to just go away. We've got the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, is testifying before a House committee today and a Senate committee tomorrow. And it's a total waste of time. I can tell you that. So they have this big, giant conference. It's one of the, I mean, they have, if you've ever been to the Capitol, they have different conference rooms. They have different hearing rooms there. Some of them are kind of small. They got small, medium, and large. This is large. It's a big a hearing room because the committee is the House Committee on Foreign Affairs is a big committee. So they got to go around, and they're going to ask. Everybody gets their 1 minute, and then their 5 minutes, and Blinken's supposed to show up at 2 o'clock Eastern time. I don't know what the delay was, but they finally got underway at 2:15. I'm thinking he's going to be there. He's in Washington. The Capitol is in Washington. Why don't they put him in a car and drive him over to the Capitol building? But instead, he's doing it via Zoom from his office. And I swear he cannot, when he goes on the internet and he goes to a site and it says, check this box. If you're not a robot, check this box to prove you're not a robot. He can't check it. He is truly, he's truly a robot. Now, I don't care for the man, but I mean to tell you, he is reading prepared comments from his office, which takes away the whole interaction between him and the members of Congress. And there's some members of Congress there. Some of them are doing it remotely. And show up. It's time. You don't have to hide in your office anymore. But that interaction, that human interaction is just not there. So Blinken is going down the road of basically, well, diplomatically, we are working on various diplomatic channels, and we're negotiating on channels of diplomacy and diplomacy channels, and we're doing it. And he did. He was going, we're doing a great job. Look how many people we got out, he says. It hasn't occurred to him that we don't leave people behind. I swear he's a robot. There is not a human element to him. He's just a strange duck. Just is sad to watch. Anyway, Mike Morrell, Michael McCaul, who is the ranking member on this committee, over the weekend was asking why they got this so wrong. Cut 15.
They got this so wrong. Why didn't they listen to the intelligence community warnings, the assessment coming out of the IC? Why didn't they listen to their top generals? Why did they go to the politicos in the White House and completely botch this evacuation? Why did they leave American citizens behind enemy lines? Why did they leave?
Why did they leave? Why did they leave all these people behind enemy lines? And so, Blinken is patting himself on the back about what a good job they did. Wow, it was just amazing how many people we got out. Yeah, but you left a bunch of people. So Mike Morrell, who is the former CIA director, goes through, he says two things that we need to do.
We are more at risk, without a doubt. We haven't yet put together a strategy for how we're going to do the two things. So one, right, is to collect that intelligence that I talked about. The intelligence community's got to figure that out. Then the Department of Defense has to figure out this over-the-horizon capability.
Yeah. Well, Morrell, being a former spook, he was a CIA guy. And so he basically said, look, the CIA can do this. We do clandestine work all the time. So he wasn't saying it, but I assume he was implying we have CIA people there on the ground mixed in and they're getting intelligence. But he went on to say, but then what does the military do with it from over the horizon? Because they can't be over the horizon. You got to have people on the ground, and the CIA has people on the ground. So I guess the military can have some special ops people, but that's, it'll be interesting to see what they do. Mark Thiessen kind of teed up this hearing today and tomorrow by saying that Blinken's got a lot to answer for.
It's going to be very hard. He's going to have to answer for this disaster. I mean, he's going to have to answer for a number of decisions. The decision to put the security of our troops in the hands of the Taliban and the Haqqani network when the Taliban had offered to let us keep control of Kabul during the evacuation. That led directly to the death of 13 Americans. He's going to have to answer for the decision to pull out, even though there were Americans still left behind and the majority of our Afghan allies were left behind, even though President Biden said he wouldn't do that. But most importantly, he's got to be very careful downplaying the terrorist threat, because that could come back to bite him. If you recall, John McCain opposed his nomination to be Deputy Secretary of State because of how disastrously he got things wrong when Biden presided over the withdrawal from Iraq in 2011. In August 2014, this is 3 years after the ISIS had built its caliphate, he said, we don't have to worry about ISIS because ISIS is focused on building its caliphate, not on external attacks. Literally months after that, they launched a campaign of terror across the world that killed 143 people in 149 attacks in 29 countries that killed 2,000 people, including Brussels, Paris, London, Ottawa. So, you know, if he downplays this threat, it's going to be the second time, and it's going to come back to haunt him.
Well, like I said, he doesn't seem to have a clue on. He has blinders on, and those blinders are looking straight ahead. He doesn't have any peripheral vision, my humble admission. So they're having this hearing, and they have congressmen. I mean, Blinken is sitting, like I said, in his office. Thank you so much for getting off your pink pillow and going over a couple blocks to the Capitol building. But the one that got me was just moments ago. This is great. All right, Alexander the Great. Did you see that guy? I never heard of him before. If I said to you, who is Albo Cyrus? Is that the name of a band? Is that a new disease? A Harry Potter character? or a congressman? Do, 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 do. No, it's not a disease. He's a congressman. Yes, Albo Cirrus. Sounds like a disease to me. Albo Cirrus is a congressman from New Jersey. Never heard of the guy. So he's doing it from home. Now, he's got a coat and tie on and his little pin that says he's a member of Congress. He's doing it from a closet. I am not joking.
He's got a cuckoo psychological nutcase.
Yes, that he is, a psychological nutcase. I'm looking and I'm going, he's got a rack of clothes on hangers behind him. He's in the closet. I'll tell you, this is a respectful hearing. This is, we're going to, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to get to the bottom of this whole thing. Congress is going to hold a hearing, I tell you. It's a waste of time. They're not going to come up with any, they're not going to hold anybody accountable. They're not going to, nothing. So back to Mark Thiessen talking about, so Morrell says the CIA can go in sneakily, because they do sneakily stuff, but that the military is going to have to figure out how to do what the military does, and they can't do that from over a horizon. But we'll get to all of that as we go along. I'm afraid that this story is going to die out because there is one member of the media, and I want to play that for you. Richard Engel. I like his work. He works for NBC. He's a very brave reporter. He is in Kabul. He went back in. I guess he got on one of those flights that went in. So he is there, and he kind of talks about what it's like right now in Afghanistan. I think this thing's going to die off. Phone number is 855. I hope people remember, though. Phone number is 855. 295-6600.
Yes, this is the third time I've called. Should I hold or what do I do?
Well, I'm busy right now. I can't continue. I'm reading all about Albo Cirrus. So when you go into your doctor, you say, I have a problem with my elbow. And if you're from New Jersey, I don't know.
I'm not going nuts.
No, I am going nuts. So after he said something, they went to Joe Wilson, congressman from South Carolina, Democrat. And Joe has the right setup. He's got a flag. A U.S. flag, and he's got another flag. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe the flag of South Carolina. Can't tell what it is on there. So he's got flags behind him, and he's got a really cheap-looking bookcase that has just stuff draped all over. It really looks like it. He must have paid $12 for this bookcase. But at least he's got flags behind him. Albo is in the closet. I'm not kidding you. There's a rack of looks like golf shirts on hangers behind him. Least he could do is put a flag up. This guy's my new favorite congressman. I don't know. Jack Keane. Let's see what he says. Let's see what Jack Keane has to say about this Afghanistan story of where it's going.
There's so much more to be done in terms of getting our people out. Finally, General Milley last week initiated a meeting with many of these veterans group who have connections with the people who are trying to get out. Our American citizens, our Afghan partners, not just a few hundred, not just a few thousand, but tens of thousands. The administration is downplaying what the requirement really is in terms of American citizens, and certainly in terms of our Afghan partners. And Guinea and they have the connections. It makes sense that the government work with them to get everybody out, because they not only have the names, but they know how to reach the people. And given there's no one on the ground there, this makes compelling sense. So I hope this program takes off and the government really embraces these veterans groups as opposed to stiffing them, is what they were doing initially, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, and that was the State Department that was stiffing them. So the good news of this Afghan, rescue is that General Milley is going around ding-dong over at the State Department. Ding-dong is sitting here reading diplomatic verbiage about, yes, we are very much negotiating with. Meantime, General Milley is meeting, thank God, with the veterans groups. And they're going, so the Defense Department is going to help the veterans. Did you hear what Jack Keane said? He says, this isn't tens or hundreds, or thousands. This is tens of thousands that they still have to get out that are at risk of being killed by the Taliban. So Joe Biden was at one of the events of 9/11. By the way, I got to ask you about that too. Didn't it seem odd, I don't know, that he shorted the whole 9/11 memorials? He showed up at all three. I saw him here in New York. I didn't see him pretty. He was on TV. Well, he was in New York along with Barack Obama was there and Bill Clinton was there, and there was Joe Biden. Which begs the question, where were the Republican presidents? Where was George Bush? He was in Shanksville. And he gave a speech in Shanksville. Did a great job, I thought. Donald Trump did not show at any of the events. I read where he went by one of them later. But he never showed at any of the events. And I'm disappointed in that, too. But so Joe Biden went to all three, but he never said boo. But he did say this. There was somebody on a rope line, some reporters, and they asked him about Al Qaeda. This is all he had to say. Cut.
Can Al Qaeda come back? Yeah, but guess what? It's already back other places. What's the strategy? Every place where Al Qaeda is, we're going to invade and have troops stay there? Come on.
Come on. Every place Al Qaeda is, we're going to invade? Come on. That was the only quote that we have from his appearances at the 9/11.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. I'm trying to keep one eye on the hearing. Blinken is in his office and looking into the camera very woefully as he answers the very hard questions from members of Congress. And so one member just said, you not only left everybody behind. This is a Republican, of course. You not only left everybody behind, but Al-Qaeda is there. And Joe Biden just said the clip. Play that clip again. Cut 20. Here's Joe Biden at a rope line at one of the, I forget which event. I think this was in Pennsylvania. And this is what he said when asked about Al-Qaeda.
Can Al-Qaeda come back? Yeah, but guess what? It's already back other places. What's the strategy? Every place where Al-Qaeda is, we're going to invade and have troops stay there? Come on.
That's what he thinks. Everywhere Al-Qaeda is, we're going to invade and have troops there? Come on. No, sir, they attacked us. Remember? They started the fight. So they just asked Anthony Blinken, hey, not only did you leave people behind, but, Al-Qaeda's there. And Blinken just answered, I'm going to paraphrase, but he said, Al-Qaeda is not the same Al-Qaeda that it was 20 years ago. So he's buying the new and improved Al-Qaeda? Here's what General Jack Keane said about Al-Qaeda.
We're only interested in Al-Qaeda where it has the physical presence to threaten the United States. And where is that? That is in Yemen and also in East Africa. There's also a smaller organization in Syria. And in all of those countries, we have physical presence. In Yemen, we're right outside but close by. And they all have access by water. The problem we have is we already have a presence of Al-Qaeda, according to the UN, in Afghanistan, in 15 provinces. We know it's going to increase. This would be the only place.
8,000 to 10,000 foreign believe. Fighters as of early June of this year. Continue. You're right about that.
Correct. This is the only place where we'll have foreign fighters, as you describe them, specifically Al-Qaeda, who want to threaten the United States, and we're going to be thousands of miles away, the so-called over-horizon approach, which clearly is cannot replace having people on the ground. And that is why the CIA director, Burns, who President Biden nominated and was approved by the Senate, has said that this, if the Taliban takes over, there will be significant risk to the United States. That is where we are now.
Yeah, that's from Biden's own CIA director. Richard Engel, I told you, he's back in Kabul. He's there. And he filed this report this morning.
So every time, especially over the last several months that I've come to Kabul, the city seems different, radically different. When I was here earlier in the summer, it was a U.S.-backed government that was in charge. The government was still fighting. I was out with the commandos as they were fighting against the Taliban. Then watched the Afghan government collapse as U.S. troops pulled out under the deal. And then that mad rush to the airport when hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, were trying to get out of this country, heading to Kabul International Airport. And there was the airlift that brought in so many nations. And now the Taliban are fully in control. They are trying to demilitarize a little bit. You see Taliban patrols all over this city, but they have pulled back a lot of their heavy weapons, a lot of the weapons that they took from U.S. forces. You don't see them as much on the street. And they are trying to be as polite as possible. I went through several of their patrols today. They look in the car. I was got a few pat-downs. They said, sorry, nice to see you, thank you. Sorry for patting you down. It's just doing our jobs. And it wasn't just with me. We spoke with many Afghans who said the same thing, that as they're going through having interactions with the Taliban are putting on a friendly face. And I spoke to one Afghan today who was terribly afraid. He actually went to the airport to try and leave the country, but he couldn't get through. And now he's here. And he said he's been pleasantly surprised by the actions that the Taliban have been taking. Now, that's on one level, and people are very nervous about how long this period will last. Are they just trying to change their face while they seek international recognition? They need international recognition in order for money to be released, in order for them to have a better working relationship with neighboring countries, with international aid agencies. But speaking to the Taliban leadership, and I've spoken to quite a few of their top leaders, they are consistently pushing this message that we are not the same Taliban that was here in the 90s, that we do not want to become international pariahs. And when you touch down now at Kabul International Airport, the first sign you see, large, giant sign in English, it says the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan, which is what the Taliban have renamed this country, seeks peaceful relations with the world, peaceful and positive relations with the world. That's the first thing that the Taliban wants you to see when you touch down. And that message has also trickled down to the foot soldiers and in other cities as well. But you also have to then juxtapose that to what you see online, what you see on Twitter, when there are lots of videos being posted of individual incidents, which some of them are very, very brutal. We've been trying to verify some of them. It's difficult to know exactly when they took place, that show limited cases of Taliban executing people, executing members of the foreign government or soldiers, not on a wide scale, but a few that have emerged. So there are these images that have come out, but they are like I said, it's fairly difficult to verify those videos. Also, what is clear is the Taliban is not accepting dissent. They do not accept protests. They've made that abundantly clear. So this is not in any way, shape, or form an open society, an open democracy. Women have gone out to protest. These protests were shut down violently. Journalists who covered those protests, the Afghan journalists, were taken away and beaten. The Taliban apologized for that. They said they're going to investigate, but they do not accept unrest on the street. If you came and tore down a Taliban flag and a Taliban poster, there would be serious repercussions. But in general, the general interactions that I've had, that other journalists here have had, and that Afghans themselves have had so far, has been a very, very gentle approach, far gentler than they feared when they were rushing to the airport.
Yeah. So there's Richard Engel. Fascinating. I mean, I get the whole concept of they're trying to make sure and be nice, play nice, so they can have international relations, as they call them, to basically get money. They're looking for money because that's what other countries do. Is you're a bad country, well, we'll send you money and hope that you will be nice. So they're looking for money. And the photos of brutality, Engel didn't come right out and say it, but he was basically setting up, if you will, the whole concept of, we don't know if these are current. We don't know where they came from. We don't know when they took place. But he is saying that things are a lot better than what everybody was afraid of. So, even if the Taliban doesn't turn out to be the Taliban from 20 years ago, then I know they have Sharia law and all of that, but they basically, their big sin was harboring Al-Qaeda. But if the Taliban runs the country without a lot of violence, will that make Joe Biden look like the smart guy in the room? Or will you ever forget that he and Blinken decided to leave Americans and the people that supported us behind? That's the ghost that is going to be, I think, chasing Joe Biden. I know we're early in his presidency, but I think this is what people remember about Joe Biden as president. 855-295-6600.
Hey, hi, Tom. Listened almost 20 years and have never once called or emailed you.
Well, what took you so long?
You're with Tom.
You see the backup just south of Boise? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, there it is. There's the back. Watching President's about ready to leave Boise, Idaho. He was there to talk about, I guess, the fires in the West. What else was he there for? What does his schedule say? Receive briefing from federal and state fire officials at the National Interagency Fire Center in Boise, Idaho. So he's leaving there now, heading down to the old Mather Air Force Base in Sacramento, and he's going to meet with fire officials there and survey wildfire damage. I'm not sure where they're bringing them, but they're going to bring them somewhere. You'll stand in a burned-out forest. So this just happened moments ago in the middle of this hearing with Blinken. I don't know the name of this congressman. I've never seen him before, but he's a Republican. So he's going to throw hardballs at Blinken. So he's asking these questions about Afghanistan and about leaving and about all this and about all that. And he's doing the typical hardball opposite party sort of questioning. So he then says, well, In my remaining time, I would like to change subjects. Mr. Blinken, can you confirm that you had an interview with the FBI? And Blinken, who is on in his office on a TV circuit, gets real big-eyed and goes, I don't know what you're talking about. So this congressman says, can you confirm if you've had an interview with the FBI since you have become Secretary of State? And he goes, I'm not comfortable answering that in a public forum, which means the answer is yes. And so this answer was, I don't know what you're talking about, was a flat, bald lie. So the congressman says, so can you confirm that you turned over documents to the FBI regarding Hunter Biden? Okay, now Blinken's eyes are like frog eyes. He's going... I don't think this is an open setting. It's inappropriate to respond. So he starts again, and the chairman, Meeks, guy from New York, he butts in and goes, this is off subject. This is about Afghanistan. So the congressman says, well, he won't answer the questions about Afghanistan, so I thought I'd ask him about documents that the State Department sent over to the FBI and that he was interviewed by them. And the chairman Meeks goes, the time has expired. All right, next congressman. So I don't know who this guy is, and I don't know what he's talking about either. But it got my ears up, and you know that the mainstream media won't go anywhere near this. Because it's Hunter Biden. So what's up? Why would the State Department have documents about Hunter Biden? Now, there was that accusation somewhere in there about that crazy laptop story and the blind computer repairman in Maryland, which started off, I mean, that's bizarre right there. And then we find out, they interviewed the blind computer repairman. He wasn't blind. And so now the question is, well, where's the laptop? And there's people saying, well, Russia has it. So so this just adds to the intrigue about what's up with Hunter Biden and Anthony Blinken just about dropped his teeth when this congressman asked him about an interview with the FBI. So something from the State Department was turned over to the FBI, which I'm sorry. I've decided, some of you wonder about my attitude towards some of these big controversial stories. My attitude over the years has changed to the point where I don't get excited about things that nothing will happen. That's why when I repeat to you many, many times about the fact that nobody's held accountable for anything in Washington, D.C., is because I've seen too many breathless stories about somebody in trouble in Washington, D.C., and everybody's got their underwear in a tight bunch, and then all of a sudden it just disappears. Nothing is ever said again. And I do think that is why people that have been in Washington for a long time kind of learn the ropes. That's the way things go there. You can kind of do what you want to do, make some money on the side, get some money under the table, do a favor for somebody for a law, and you'll wind up wealthy. But nothing's ever going to happen to you, even if they catch you. And we never found out about Hunter Biden's artwork and who bought the artwork and how much they paid. So the Hunter Biden story takes another, there's another chapter to your book, those of you writing about Hunter Biden. What's this all about where Anthony Blinken just about swallowed his tongue when this congressman said, what about the interview with the FBI? I don't know what you're talking about. Don't ask me about it. Hilarious. You got a little Rocket Man going? Because we, have you seen Rocket Man? Have you seen him? He's lost 200 pounds.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a Rocket Man.
He's a Rocket Man, all right. And he launched two rockets over the weekend, long-range missiles. Oh, I don't have time for Jack Keane. Anyway, we'll get to they are long-range missiles that can carry nukes. And they can go about 1,000 miles. So it won't hit us, but it would certainly hit South Korea and Japan. And they're both worried as can be. So he's launching a couple more rockets. I swear he's lost 200 pounds. He's almost unrecognizable. But that's, we'll get Jack Keane to chime in maybe after the top of the hour. But he's at it again. Nothing works with him. I mean, they've tried everything. Clinton tried with his father. Obama tried with him. Trump tried with him. Biden's not trying a thing with him. We'll be right back.